could see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watchmen for Jesus program, the Bible study tonight. Welcome. My name is Thomas Gambill. I'm the host of this program, this Bible study tonight. Tonight, the difference is on Bible studies, unless it's required, but I do the best I can to stay away from the New World Order and talk about the Bible. Although they're connected, I still like to separate them to a certain extent. You know, you go to church, they say all these nice things, Catholic Church, Baptist Church, Presbyterian, Methodist, Quaker, Mormon, whatever it is. They give you all these Dr. Feelgood speeches and classes and training and all this. What they're not telling you is about repentance. They're not telling you that Satan is real. They're not telling you that there is a hell and it is eternal. You see, they give you the lukewarm preaching and masses and, I don't know, synagogue, whatever it is, but they're not telling you the whole truth. There is an eternal hell. It's there. Whether people like to talk about it or not, it's in the Bible. The same one they're supposed to be using, the King James Bible. And irrefutably, the King James Bible is the only true word of God. Everything else, all the others, I mean NIV, Jerusalem Bible, Douay Rheims, just name one of the 300 different ones, and you'll find they're missing verses. The verses are gone. The words have been changed to protect the guilty. And this is a fact. You see, this is what kills me, is that people don't take the time to research it on themselves, and the preachers, I don't know what to say, and the rabbis and the priests, I don't know what. I can't answer for them. Why they stuck on glue and followed the 501c3, in America it's a 501c3, tax exempt status. So the government gives you a 501c3, tax exempt because you're a church. Well, guess what? The reality of that tax exempt, they're not telling you about it. Because the government has a foothold in the door of the church when they're a 501c3. And they send them this nasty, nasty, ugly letter threatening them, if you ever go against us, words to the effect, we will pull your tax exempt status. Now, they tell them exactly what to do. You will preach about this. You won't preach about that. They'll tell you which Bibles to use and everything. They tell them everything to do. And now, how do they monitor it? Freemasons inside the synagogue, that'd be benign birth, bad breath, whatever. So you've got Catholic Church, you've got Freemasons, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, the Baptist churches, Methodist, Presbyterian, etc., etc. And they monitor that preacher. And I know for a fact about one church that I was involved in. Recently, the preacher was approached, and when he was talking about adultery and all these other things, he was warned, you know, we know about all that, preachers. You don't need to be talking about it in Sunday school. How do I know? The preacher told me personally. Don't tell me no. This is what they do. Freemasons, it's not right. What you're doing is wrong. I mean dead wrong, and you know it too. You know it. This is how they control the churches today. Your Joel Osteens, Joyce Myers, Copeland, all these are TBN, the whole doggone lot of them are Freemasons or Eastern Stars. Pray for them. But get out of there. Hagee and the whole lot of them. Blood moons and all that stuff. The book is worthless. There are no blood moons. Family, this is huge what I'm telling you. But that idea of a blood moon has been debunked badly. You see? Family, you depend on you. And then when you do, you depend on the Holy Spirit, because you take Jesus Christ as your Savior, your personal Savior. You don't need a preacher, rabbi, or priest, or pope, or say your rosary, whatever. You don't need all that. You just need the Holy Spirit in your heart and your soul. That's all you need. And where two or more are gathered, that's the church the Bible's talking about, because the Bible says it. Where two or more are gathered. It don't say nothing about four walls or a religion. You see, and I say that because religions, you know, Mormons, you inherit a planet. Did you know that? Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't believe that Jesus Christ is a begotten Son of God. Baptist churches, I used to be a Baptist, but Baptist churches, you know, some of them, it depends which one you go to. One street might say you have to be baptized or you're not saved. Another one over here says you must be able to speak in tongues. If you're not, Holy Spirit's not in you. Both are lies. Baptism is a act of obedience. But the criminal on one side of Jesus, he never got baptized. And Jesus said, today you be with me in paradise. He didn't say about after you get baptized. He didn't say that. Family, they're pulling your strings, pulling your leg and grabbing your money. It's not about religion. It's about Jesus. It's not about Christianity. It's about Jesus. And His holy word is in the King James Bible. And I've got Baptist ministers, and I say Baptist because that's your proverbial Bible belt, whatever, that says, well, yeah, we use the King James Bible. I say, okay. And that's a good start. But I don't believe them always. And I'll tell you why in a second. And it will be discussion. And I'll say, well, and I poke people. I mean, I do push a little bit. I do a little poking, if you want to call it that. And I just see what they're made of. And that's just how I want to know. If I'm going to be learning from these preachers, I want to know that he's following the true word of God. So my poking statement is this. Well, it's good to hear you use the King James Bible. And then I'll add the poke. Here comes the poke. The jab. And I'll say, quote myself, and it's great that the King James Bible is the only true word of God on the face of the planet. There's no other one. And I wait, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, and I see the results. If he agrees with me, that's step number two. But majority of them do not. Oh, ouch. I hear, well, yeah, here comes that B-U-T-T, but we found older ones, more accurate. Big lie. The Septuagint, big lie. You have to be able to read the Greek and Hebrew. Oh, that's a big, big lie. No, you don't. And it just gets worse from there. Oh, they're tricky. Family, Jesus Christ is coming back. Illuminati, the secret societies, the fake Jews in Israel, the real Jews, the Hebrew Israelites, oh, they're going to come up. 144,000, the chosen people of God was Hebrew Israelites, and it's not America, it's not Europe. White folk, I got news for you. Black folk, you too. Jesus Christ come from the Middle East. What do you think his authenticity might be? You ever think it might be kind of Middle Easterner? Wow, what a concept that is. Bronze, hair of wool, looks more like Indians or Mexicans or Middle Easterner, because that's the part of the country where that DNA flourished. Not way south of Africa, not way north where the white folk are. No. So if you think Jesus Christ is blonde hair, blue eyed, or if Jesus Christ is African, I got news for you. He's neither. He's bronze, as the Bible says, hair of like wool. That don't bother me any. I'm a white boy, Scotch-Irish. A little bit of Cherokee. Maybe it doesn't have anything to do with it because it's a real tiny, tiny bit of Cherokee. I'm mostly Scotch-Irish. So all this cultural skin color and whatever doesn't mean a thing. It's a soul. It's your what's inside your heart what matters. He looks at that. He don't look at your skin color or what culture you're from, what flag you've got. It doesn't make one bit of difference. Because you're not going to have it when he comes back. You going to argue that? You can if you want to. I'm not going to. Because he is coming back. Family, I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. And I'm going to talk about several things tonight. An epiphany I had that I'm going to relate to you. I just thought about it. And then I'm going to talk about rock and roll music. And it'll be a part two of yesterday. And I said I was going to quantify in detail how the musicians are influenced. And I'll do a little review. And I'm being kind of ambitious, I suppose, because we get out of here at 9 o'clock. And so I'm going to talk about, because music is a major, major influencing factor. Tied into music are video games, music, TV, or the ways that Satan uses to get words inside your head, subliminal messaging, music, to influence an entire nation, an entire culture. It changed our culture in a matter of months from the 1950s to 1960s, rock and roll. And Beatles, we'll get into that. We're trained by Tavistock, by the way. Elvis Presley was part of it. He was Hindu, Buddhist. Family, I got a lot of things to tell you tonight. Some of you might not like. I probably lose people tonight. I don't know, but I'm not holding nothing back. I belong to nobody except Jesus. That's it. You know, I love my country, and I'm a former Marine and all that. Well, whoopee-doo. I love Jesus more. That's it. My loyalty's done, you see. So I try to expose as much truth as I possibly can. And I'm guided by the Holy Spirit, like anybody is, if you allow yourself to be. I'm nobody special at all. I just made a decision, simple as that, for my sinful days and where I was doing what I was doing and so forth. And anyway, Lord, we thank you tonight that we come together in prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father, call upon you as we lay our sins before you. Father, we admit our sins, we repent of our sins, and Lord, we lay them for you, your promise to forgive. Lord, to help us and guide us straight, to give us conviction of the soul when we fall away. We thank you, Father, for that conviction, that you let us know which way we stray. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And Father, we thank you for the King James Bible, the true Word of God that we have. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that leads us with discernment and wisdom. Father, we lift up to you our brethren that are in need of miracles and healing. Father, we lift up to you family members that we've prayed for in the past, that, Lord, you revisit and you'll, Father, raise them up and give them miracles to get them out of this Alzheimer, or miracles of a father of the mental capacities that's being lost because of vaccines, because of these chemtrails and things have been done to them. Lord, for any healing that we've of cancer that we've called about before, that we've talked about, Lord, we pray for them as well. Lord, we pray for the children worldwide and certainly in the United States that are being abducted for these sacrificial holidays by the Wicca, by the Satanist. Father, we pray that these kidnappers, the government, Father, the secret societies, the Wicca, Father, they'll be exposed. And Father, protect the children, Lord. And that's why we pray for the return of Jesus Christ to get back here. That, Lord, he'll fix it all. That's why, Father, we pray for his return. And Father, we pray for the given courage, the spirit of courage to be given to these preachers and rabbis and priests. That, Father, they'll start preaching the true word of God and about the gospel, the way it's supposed to be preached, Lord, and the Great Commission. Father, we pray for these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, family, I do have a whole lot to cover tonight. An hour and a half, I'll see where I get to. I guess it's a basic question for you. Why in the dickens are we here anyway? Why in the world, when I wake up in the morning, I feel an existence? I can feel myself. I can hear myself breathe sometimes, especially when I walk up the steps. But, you know, I can feel myself, you know. I can do things. Why do I exist? Why are we here? If you want to believe, highly intelligent, you're a physicist, all right? And you want to believe that this entire world and universe is put together by colliding protons, molecules, and atoms just accidentally bounced together and created all this earth by itself from nothing, by the way. I guess the atoms created themselves. Oh, okay, that works. Not really, but anyway. And so blindly, they just bounce into each other, mindless, careless, little photons that somehow acquire life or something? Anyway, and so they create themselves, they create the universe with aliens there. Oh, yeah, you got to have a planet with aliens that were here before we were, right? What'd they start with? They have their own monkeys or, I don't know, fish in their planet? Who knows? Funny kind of fish, huh? And then somehow or another, a meteorite comes flying through the universe at some speed and crashes in this planet called Earth, it's still bubbling, and it brings with it some amoeba, some parasite, some, I don't know, your great-great-great-grandmother times 10,000 or something, with some kind of amoeba. Okay. So then it launches it in this primordial soup at a certain level that it starts, because it's too hot, it won't work, too cold, it won't work. So it just happened to be at the right place, the right time. Okay, thank you, I'll stay right here. And then it starts regenerating or something or other. Well, there you go. It turns into everything we got today by accident. Okay, you got the story. So that's like saying a tornado went through a junkyard and threw together by its winds a perfectly operating Cadillac. Now, did that in millions of worlds? Okay, if you want to believe that, have at it. But given the fact that this world's an entropy, I mean, everything dies, rusts, rots, or is consumed, how in the world is evolution even remotely possible? Well, it's not. It's simple. It's not possible when everything's an entropy. We say, well, mutations. Oh, mutations. I got you. So mutation, if you know what it is, those that spout that off, mutation means it's missing something. That's a mutation. So that cancels that out. Carbon 14 dating, man, is 350 million years or 65 million, whatever they throw out. Well, carbon dating is bunk. Carbon 14 dating doesn't work. But they keep throwing these articles out. Well, we found these cavemen, Neanderthal, lickety-split, whatever, 350,000 years, like it's nothing. People read it. That's subliminal training. So immediately, here's what it does. If they throw out, they just throw out these figures. It means nothing. They throw it out. It immediately discredits the Bible subliminally. That's what they do it for. Dinosaurs coexisted with mankind, according to the Bible, too. But let me tell you something now. Hang in there. Evolution did happen. But here's the rub on that little deal. Evolution was guided by the fallen angels, by DNA manipulation and alchemy, witchcraft that they knew. The knowledge of good and evil, how to manipulate DNA. Now, you've got your evolution. But it's guided by the fallen angels that were evil to the core. And it wasn't some millions of years old. Mankind is 8, maybe 7,000. God created mankind from nothing. Because when God spoke, the molecules moved. When God thought, it all came together. How's that work? I don't have a clue. But I don't have to, because God knows. It means I don't have to know. You see? Because we can't. Mankind does not have, none of us, no human being ever lived, has the dimensionality, the dimensional capacity to understand the supernatural. You know, when Jesus said on the cross, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do." Well, we don't. As a matter of fact, Satan and the fallen angels, the demons, they do not have the dimensional capacity to understand the full range of God. To understand God in the fullest, the best way I can describe it, would be like trying to pour the ocean into a pint cup. It's not going to work. So then why can't we trust our science and our education, Harvard? It don't make any difference what college. Oxford, it don't make a lick of difference. I'll tell you exactly why. And I talked about it today at the broadcast, 46. And if you want to get the details, it's in that broadcast earlier. But here's the bottom line. Every college and university, minus none, in the United States, every single one, and including all the high schools, every one of them, is an ally of humanism, Marxism. Every public school is a school of humanism. The father of American education was John Dewey, Horace Mann, and they're a humanist. That's putting a fox in a hen house and closing the door and say, "You're hungry? Go fetch it." I've got quotes at the yin yang confirming that the strides made by Marxism at American universities since 1930, the corruption of American education began in 1908. I'm going to make a point here in a minute. That since 1930, at least, quotes have been coming out that say that the strides made by Marxism in American universities in the last 50, 60 years are breathtaking. Every discipline has been affected by the Marxist socialism preachment, and every faculty counts among its members at least one resident Marxist scholar that monitors the education, makes sure the teachers fall in line with the Humanist Manifesto. It's not Islam. It's not Judaism. It's not Christianity. It is humanism. It is the undercurrent of all education. And it's going to come out in the New Age movement. People don't know that yet. The Catholic Church will have a re-spiritualization. They will assume the role of the religious leader of humanism. And that's a fact. That's why you got three Jesuits there today. And humanists deny the existence of God, deny the existence of a soul, deny the existence of absolute moral laws, deny the existence of inalienable rights, deny the sanctity of individual human life. That's where abortion comes in. That's where wars come in. All of this. Vaccinations. Healthcare. Euthanasia. All that is part of bringing this agenda to bear. Who? Club of Rome. Trilateral Commission. Council of Foreign Relations in England. Royal Institute of International Affairs. Gorbachev Foundation. Bilderberg Group. They work together in a round table. Do you understand how this works? They claim they'll only be successful in creating a utopia by establishing a world government, a new world order. They believe the traditional family must be eliminated to attain world peace. That's what you're dealing with. That is Satan's agenda, using mankind. So why are we here? It's very simple why we're here. Am I here to glorify myself and my birthday? No. Am I here to win another award in karate training? No. Am I here to win a Medal of Honor? No. Am I here to celebrate 4th of July? No. I'm here. Humankind is here to glorify God. We glorify God first of all simply by existing and reflecting His glorious image. As a human who is rebellious and fallen, but is now redeemed and being restored to holiness through our Lord Jesus Christ, you also glorify God by demonstrating His mercy and love to the whole universe. Ephesians 3:10-11. So the change that you experience when you become born again is evidence of God's glory. Not that you say you are, but that you do. We glorify God by doing the work He's planned for us. If we glorify Satan, we do the work that Satan's glorified. Family, I hate to tell you this, but rock and roll fits in. Oh, bite my tongue. I always liked rock and roll. See, family, some of this convicts me, but I got to say it anyway. John 20, verse 21, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Where'd the world come from? God created it. Any other questions? He created it through Christ. The entire universe was created to service the earth and the earth alone. It's a very balanced, very finite balance of human life, animal life, plant life. It's incredibly sensitive, incredibly delicate. The slightest change can destroy life that we can't even imagine. It says in the Bible that the constellations, that's the universe, was there for direction. For headings, direction, and the principles of the universe to come together to make things work. What keeps us going? God does. He stops that entropy. If he wasn't here, we'd all die out. Wasn't for God, his Holy Spirit, to keep us going. He knows how many heartbeats you're going to have. He knows the end from the beginning. There's no time travel and alien and Anunnaki or whatever the heck they are, or dimensional beings. You know, you got 4-star generals, highly educated physicists that are being fooled by the fallen angels. And even Swedenborg, in the 18th century, a man who spoke with angels, he says, he's a universalist, but whatever. But he had contact, channeling. Now I'm getting down to it. Even he says that all the angels do is lie. Anything they say cannot be believed. Look up Swedenborg, 18th century, man who spoke with angels. Well, now they're calling them aliens today. You got Stephen Greer and all these others, Disclosure, trying to make you think there's UFOs and all that nonsense. Family, there's no place for aliens and angels. They're not the same, because there aren't no aliens. They're fallen angels. Good ones and bad ones? No. They're all bad. The angels from God come from the third heaven. They come down, they take care of business, and they go back. So when you have a good angel, there aren't any that's out there that's called Anunnaki or Pleiadians or whatever they are, because they're calling themselves, and look it up while I'm talking. You can look it up while I'm talking if you want. Ascended masters, masters of wisdom. Aliens, they're all the same. The fallen angels, sons of God of the Old Testament. The hierarchy. The great white brotherhood. They're the same ones. They're fallen angels. And they control 7 areas of our lives since Nimrod. Education. Philosophy. Religions, all of them. Science, the arts, politics, and finance. So you see, family, I'm going to stop talking about that part right now, but I want to lay the groundwork for this. That's what we're dealing with today. Notice science is part of it. So when you go to the Bible, it talks about the heart of man, which is continually wicked. And we're the weak link to get to God. If he gets to us, he gets to God. Adam to Eve to Adam. He looks for the weak link. Satan is real. Demons are real. But you know, demons are nothing more than specks of light. Beings that you can't see that live in the second heaven. Not the third, not the first. First heaven's on earth. Second heaven is the universe. But within that are spiritual beings called demons and fallen angels. And the demons are the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim of the Old Testament before the flood that died. Their spirits do not reside with God. Therefore, they went in the abyss. Okay, I'm not going to go there right now. But we as human beings are the weak link. So Satan is allowed to roam to and fro from now on the earth and to influence mankind as he did. And the fallen angels before the flood, at the garden before the flood. After the flood destroyed all the Nephilim and mankind, save 8 people. Noah was one perfect in his generation. Wife, 3 sons, 3 wives. They had no Nephilim blood in them, as people try to tell you. They're trying to tell us today that humankind, ever humankind, has Nephilim blood in them. It's corrupted DNA. That's a lie. You're not. But you do have Nephilim around us. Oh, yeah. And they will come back, as in the days of Noah. That's another story. So, when they came back after the flood, they have restraints on them. They can only be brought into this existence by ritual, witchcraft, child sacrifice, rituals, and so forth. Now you see why that all comes about. That's what the Tower of Babel was all about. Each level of a Tower of Babel was to hit a certain principality. Copper lined to allow rituals to bring the fallen angels into the tower through portals. It's physics, family. Physics. Ritual. Alchemy. Now, it requires man to engage with Satan and the fallen angels. And they give him rewards, benefits, powers that are always temporary to pull him in. See, Satan can come as an angel of light. The second wave of fallen angels after the flood, because others are chained in utter darkness, Jude 1 and 2. The second wave were watchers, had free will. They fell into lust with the daughters of man. Lucifer influenced both watchers and man. And that to fulfill his lust to be like God. My epiphany, I'm telling you, that I had the other day, that Satan also fulfills his role, purpose of exercising free will. If you don't have an exercise of free will, you don't have free will. But God gave us and the fallen angels and the angels free will. If you don't have free will, you can't love unconditionally. So it must be exercised. Without the exercise of free will, you cannot love unconditionally. So Satan served his purpose, but his lust is what drove it there. It separates the wheat and the tares. Lets God know who's going to be there for him and who's not. Family, we're in a test right now. We're in a classroom. We're in a boot camp for heaven or hell. This is big stakes because it's eternal. God looks at the heart and the value of the act. But the intentions of the heart is everything on this earth is there to redirect us from God and to keep us, our minds busy. If I steal a dime, if I steal $1 million, family, it's the same thing. It's no different. You know, here in America, you got what's called a white lie and a black lie. Big color-coded lies. Sorry to tell you, but God don't color-code lies. I tell a little bitty lie, a little white lie, is the same as a big lie. There's no color-code lies in heaven. But everything is to keep us busy, keep us tied up. God destroyed all living things at the flood except for 8 people. God destroyed 2 cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, that were unrighteous, no righteous in there. Saved Lot and his family. God spared this world because there's righteous people in it now, today, trying to do God's will. He'll remove his church before he executes judgment on the planet. When? Nobody knows. When's the rapture? Nobody knows. When's the second coming? Soon, but nobody knows. And you won't know till it happens. The second coming is 7 years after the first seal. Peace covenant confirmed between the Antichrist, which hadn't popped up yet, and Israel, but they're starting to build the temple. It's getting close. That begins the first seal. Nothing else. No blood moon. No feast. The only feast left is Feast of Tabernacles. That's yet to come. But no blood moon. And nobody can calculate. Nobody can calculate when the rapture is coming or the tribulation. We're not even there yet. The order of the universe is supernatural. Everything material and flesh will die because it does. This world is supernatural. The bodies will be changed as Enoch's body was changed. Lazarus was brought back from the dead. He had another chance to live, but he still started dying because he was human again. Enoch was not. His body was changed. Jesus changed his body at the cross of Calvary. Went to hell, paradise, proclaimed that he had lived. He didn't suffer down there, like Joyce Myers and Copeland and the rest say. He did not suffer in hell. When he said on the cross is finished, that's exactly what he meant. When he went down to Hades or Sheol, he went down to paradise that existed before the cross to preach to the old sinner, to the old saints, that when they did the sacrifice of animals up to that point, it was anticipation of the coming Messiah. So at the cross, when he died the 3 days, he didn't die. He descended to preach to the saints, Moses, Jeremiah, all the ones in the Old Testament, I am the Messiah. Then paradise was vacated. Paradise was right across from Sheol in hell. They could see it, but they couldn't go there because they were in prison. But the Old Testament saints were lifted out of paradise. Paradise ceased to exist. That's why on the cross he told the criminal, today you'll be with me in paradise. He didn't say heaven. He hadn't died yet and went down there, you see. So this criminal that died first ended up in paradise, waiting. That's a short wait. A whole lot shorter than Moses, wasn't it? That's what happened. The Joyce Myers and Copeland say that Jesus Christ, and I've heard him say it, I could play it right now if you wanted me to, said that Jesus went to hell. He's a first born again Christian, was tormented by the demons down there. I can't believe that's what they say, but that's what they say. I got the words right from their own lips. I got on the audio right now. Unbelievable. You can find it in the heartbeat anyway. Family, you got wolves out there you would not believe. So if you believe in God, then which God do you believe in? Do we as human have only wisdom of flesh? Do we have the wisdom of supernatural? No, we don't. Even Satan and his angels could also have knowledge and of the supernatural, but they do not have the knowledge or extra dimensionality of God. It's not there. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows the future. He sees the future. Satan cannot. We attend places of worship and yet don't believe in the eternal state. We say, man, I'm going to live to be 100. We think that's cute or courageous. And we honor those that have reached 100 years old. They're supposed to reach 120. But 100. But your life, your physical part of life, when it gets over, here comes the concentration of spiritual quality of life. Because the lust is not an issue. But you're eternal. The day you die, you become eternal. And at that age, when you get older, lust is not an issue anymore. So you're staring eternity right smack dab in the face like two boxers. So that's when the Illuminati folks and those that's in the rock and roll, they get older and they live that long, or presidents, former presidents or political leaders and so forth, that's been working for Illuminati. When they get older, God starts pulling on their strings. That's why the Illuminati fear deathbed confessions. That's why at 27 years old, that you have some commit suicide, they lose that control. Or older folks, when they get older, they have a place they got to put them because God touches the heart. He shows them where they're going and it convicts them. Satan's got to take control. That's when that happens. The lust of life starts ending, so Satan has little to work with. So he bumps them up, their ability to have sex, Prozac, or not Prozac, but I don't know, extend the life or something. So you have that lust still going on. He can use it. He makes the body still physical with alchemy. Something to keep your mind off the eternal state. That's what's going on today. Because you never die, family. Your body sheds for a while, and your soul goes to heaven or goes to hell. You just don't die and go to eternity into annihilation. Bible says no. Universalists say yes. Well, that's mankind's religion. Now you see. Self-worship and lust is to keep us from God and facing the conviction that God sends us when we fall away. Before death, this is why Satan takes his minions offline right away and puts them in different places. Takes them from any influences of the Holy Spirit. Suicides people, puts them in, actually down in some, down in South America and other places, they have, places, luxurious places, they put them all. They don't die to keep them away from any kind of divine appointment. The persecution of the Holy Spirit. But they keep them drugged. They make them choices in life, therefore many times more difficult to sit back and seek the redemption of God. However, once you die, that's it. God knows the end from the beginning, don't he? He knows when the last human will accept Jesus, and then will come the falling away. That's what it's based on. He waits with love until the last person has heard the gospel, and he knows he's going to accept or reject Jesus. It's love he wants worship, because if not, we worship ourselves. If we don't worship him, give him all the glory, guess who we're going to turn it to? Ourselves. That's called humanism. There you go. And it's love that he created hell. Otherwise, in the separation, they'd have unrestrained hate and evil, killing, tearing themselves to pieces. So hell, the torment in hell, keeps them from tearing each other to pieces. Unrestrained evil would have be restrained because hell keeps them down there. Well, you know, when you go to church and you become born again, or you know, it's like this. Let me put it like this. I like to use hyperbole sometimes. It's like you need a plumber. Your plumbing went out. You got a leak or something. You got, I need a plumber. And it's got a steady leak to it. Not bad enough to you panic, but I got to fix that leak. So what you do, well, to make yourself feel better, you go to a college and you learn in a weekend or a period of time how to be a plumber, because you can't afford plumbing. So you say, well, I'll do it myself. So you learn how to do it. You come back and you tell your husband or your wife or whatever, or yourself, I learned how to be a plumber. Okay. I feel much better. Okay, well, how about that? So when are you going to fix the pipe? Learning it don't get you there. You got to go out and actually fix it. Crawl underneath the cabinet, start twisting this and twisting that and buying this and buying that so you can put it in there and all the plumbing, whatever you do. Unless you do something about it, there's no purpose. Learning about it don't get it. You got to make it happen now. Same thing. Family, that's an epiphany I had and wanted to pass on. Because we're coming right down to it. The Spirit is moving. People are coming together. The Holy Spirit's convicting people. I think a lot of you sense this anyway. I'm going to talk about music tonight and how it affects us. And before I do that, I'm going to do a little refresher here, what we talked about.
1993.
Here we go.
The second he died, proudly boasted, "I'm the devil's apple generation in a way that may have catastrophic consequences. With morals and ethics gone, what remains is anarchy and chaos. The desired state the Illuminati wants the world to be in before the takeover. By making rebels out of our teenagers and have them go against their parents, the Illuminati is trying to dissolve the family unit, which is a very strong bond. As long as families stick together and the parents teach their children morals and ethics, the elite will have a very hard time to control us. And they know it." David Bowie in Rolling Stone magazine, February 12, 1976, stunned the music world when he stated, "Rock has always been the devil's music. I believe rock and roll is dangerous. I feel we're only heralding something even darker than ourselves." Rocker Frank Zappa, who discovered the awful truth December 4, 1993, the second he died, proudly boasted, "I'm the devil's advocate. We have our own worshippers who are called groupies. Girls will give their bodies to musicians as you would give a sacrifice to a god." Peter's Brothers, What About Christian Rock, pages 17. The supergroup, Metallica, in the song Jump in the Fire, commands young people to jump into hell. "Follow me now, my child, do just as I say. Jump by your will or be taken by force, I'll get you either way. So reach down, grab my hand, walk with me through the land. Come home where you belong, so come on, jump in the fire." In the cover song, The Prince, Metallica openly sing, "Angel from below, I wish to sell my soul, devil take my soul, with diamonds you rip it, I don't care for heaven, so don't you look for me to cry, and I will burn in hell from the day I die."
Now listen.
"Hopefully, I'll be remembered as the person who brought an end to Christianity." Spin, August 1996, pages 34. For the Church of Satan. Cobain even wanted Levy to record a song with
him. Okay, I'm going to fast forward.
To desecrate church.
Here we go.
And she's fearless.
Oh, this is what I want to cover right here. All right, here we go. Watch this one.
Indeed, he did channel demons, as Cobain is described as stumbling on melodies by means he himself didn't fully understand. His widow, after his suicide, would state that Kurt had a lot of personal inner expletive deleted demons, a lot of frailties and physical ailments. Sanford would state in his biography, "He was a diffident, yet aggressive personality who struggled with demons that drove and tormented him." It's said that Cobain killed himself because the demonic entities stopped channeling lyrics through him. In a suicide note he would write, "I haven't felt the excitement of listening to as well as creating music, along with really writing, for too many years now." Sinford has stated, in a suicide note, Cobain despaired that his muse had flown south. Jimi Hendrix believed he was possessed by demonic spirits. His girlfriend admitted it as well. His producer also stated that he believed he was possessed. Hendrix begged his girlfriend for help and he felt that the voices in his head were tormenting him. Jimi Hendrix said in Life magazine, October 30, 1969, "I can explain everything better through music. You hypnotize people and when you get people at their weakest point, you can preach into their subconscious what we want to say. That's why the name Electric Church flashes in and out." Beyoncé confessed that is controlled by an external force. She calls the entity Sasha Fierce. She said it takes control of her when she performs on stage. It has been said that in one performance she was angry after a performance because Sasha Fierce threw a ring on her finger to the audience. Along with her new album, Beyoncé has presented her fans to a new alter ego named Sasha Fierce. The singer affirms that this new persona is the fun, more sexual and more aggressive side of her. This is, however, the general public version of the story. The esoteric meaning revealed by the symbol surrounding this new persona is much deeper. Sasha Fierce is a symbolic representation of an artist taken over by evil to obtain success. Beyoncé goes on to say, I have someone else that takes over when it's time for me to work and when I'm on stage. This alter ego that I've created that kind of protects me and who I really am.
Sasha is my alter ego. And when people see me, sometimes I think that when they meet me and they speak with me, they're expecting Sasha. And I'm really kind of shy, and not really shy, but more reserved, and nothing like Sasha. But I guess I wouldn't be very entertaining on the stage, so Sasha comes out, and she's fearless. You know, she can do things that I cannot do when I'm in rehearsal. I mean, I can try, but then it just doesn't happen. I can sing notes and sing strong and do all these things that when I'm just by myself, I can't do. And I remember right before I performed, I raised my hands up. And it was kind of the first time I felt something else come into me. And I knew that was going to be my coming out night for the BET Awards.
Jim Morrison himself believed he was a sort of a shaman and that spirits used him for his music. His producer Paul Rothschild said that the most pivotal part of his life is when this spirit entered him. This is all stated in the book Break On Through the Life and Death of Jim Morrison. At Venice Beach before he became famous, he said in that year there was an intense visitation of energy. I left school and went down to the beach to live. Slept on a roof, I met the spirit of music. An appearance of the devil on a Venice canal. Running, I saw Satan.
You're doing really well now, but didn't you release a CD like almost 10 years ago?
Katy Perry.
I released a gospel record when I was 15 because I grew up in a household where all I ever did was listen to gospel music, and my parents are both traveling ministers, and so I kind of sang about, you know, what was going on in my life at 15, and that's how I got introduced to the music industry. I swear I wanted to be like the Amy Grant of music.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out, and so I sold my soul to the devil.
Little Richard has
Okay, now, in the show Monday, I played the entire video, Sold Out to Satan, Illuminati-controlled musicians. This is her own testimony. You see, I don't make this up. Now, I played the whole 51 minutes of that, plus the Beatles, how they got into it, but John Coleman talks about it. Tavistock have talked about it. It all comes around. See, it's all connected. So tonight is trying to explain to you how the Satanists, how the demons really work. I'm going to tell you, I remember now that I said I was going to talk about it and how Satan controls it. Now, there's five methods are capable of application that they're talking about. And there's five planes of human evolution, and there's two higher planes which initiate what they call the mystery functions. Now, all this is contained within the Illuminati's own training, but I'm going to tell you exactly how it works. The five methods. One is incarnation, and that's what we're talking about here. Incarnation, it's the physical plane method where Satan comes inside, the demons come inside. See, they're all interconnected. And so somewhat of a cloud. So when Satan assigns individual, you have fallen angels assigned to continents, principalities and powers of darkness. Family, this is not some kind of mythology. This is real. In a world we can't see. Some people are given the gift to be able to see. If you are seeing UFOs or you're seeing demons and so forth, you better check in your background whether or not you had a mother, grandmother, great-great-grandmother, great-great-great-grandmother, four generations back that was in the Wicca, or Eastern Star, or dad or great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, great-great-great-great-grandfather that was a Freemason or warlock. You're going to have a curse of four generations of your family, and that means you'll have to learn how to break a generational curse. I've talked about this before. And to renounce and plead for with God and God alone through Jesus Christ, called breaking generational curses, spiritual warfare. To renounce the sin of that former parent, grandparent, great-great-grandparent, whatever. And to get rid of all the items in your house that relates to that, because they're all cursed. I know this sounds crazy, but the supernatural is covered in the Bible. Breaking curses, demonic activity. It's in the Bible. Incarnation, I'll talk about that a little later in more detail. Well, it is kind of a little later, isn't it? We've got 30 minutes to go. Anyway, so the first myth is incarnation, where the demon comes inside the person. And they only come inside by allowance, by free will. You play the Ouija board, you do the tarot cards, read the horoscope, go to a seance, you're opening up the doors. Taking drugs, that's number two. Now you know the purpose of drugs with the military. Super soldiers, remote viewing in classified programs at the Pentagon and the Russians. Remote viewing of individuals that can see distances without going there. It's demonic, family. It's incarnation. By taking drugs, by doing aberrant sex or rape or murder, called the royal secret. Freemasons know about it. Alchemy. By doing some aberration against God, sodomy, now you know where the children are used for in the Pentagon, highest level, Child Protective Service, CIA, now you got it. By doing this, it opens up a portal. Opens a portal that individual, super soldier, whatever, will receive a demonic being inside of them when they're doing the incantations, drugs, a sodomy or rape or something like that. It causes a portal to open. You know when you see these portraits, paintings, photos of a halo? It's not of God. The halo is right in the back of the head, is a portal for the soul in exchange. That's what that halo is all about. That's what that is. Incarnation is a physical plane method of being incarnated by a demon. There's three methods of that I cover later. The drugs, that's why they use the drugs. That's why LSD was used. Bath salts in America, it brings different demons in. It's not just about combat effectiveness. It's a lot deeper than that. A lot deeper, people don't realize. The release of astral consciousness. The drugs cause it. Marijuana. Sneak it up on you. How do you get them to take marijuana? You make it illegal. Why? Because they'll want it then. Make it illegal, then put out that it cures cancer, that does this, it does that, then make it illegal. The mean old government's keeping back a help for us. Then they'll want it, and when they get it, they'll love it. And when they love it, it opens up the portals for astral consciousness. That's the trick they're playing, and it's working perfectly, because states now are legalizing marijuana. Family, this is the reality behind it. You make it illegal, people are going to want it. Government's trying to hide it. You see how they do it? Same thing about UFOs, like Stephen Greer and all the others. They work for the Illuminati. So they make it look, the government's got to come clean with it. We're going to make them come clean about the UFOs, about aliens. So the government hides it, makes it illegal, makes it hidden or whatever, plays that little game to make us want to see it. Oh, okay, we'll let you see it now. Let's release it. Because it makes it look like it's real. There's no aliens, ascended masters. They're demons, fallen angels. And they're liars. But they're calling them aliens today. Movies, all of it reflected. But the drugs, back to the drugs. The drugs are used to bring different demons in for possession. Remember what I said a little while ago? Well, more than a little while ago. An hour ago. That the demons are the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim that died in the flood. Millions of them. Giants. They want bodies now. And that's what it's all about. Number three is words of power. You see, creation by speech or method of the mental plane. Speech. Different languages affects DNA. Words are powerful. The Bible says there's no idle words. Family, where do you think incantations come from? How about prayer? Oh, prayer changes things. Words of power is real. Number four, intense desire. That's called lust. Sublimation of aspiration or the method of the Buddhic plane, they call it. B-U-D-D-H-I-C, Buddha. Buddha, Buddha, Buddha. And the spear of spiritual love. And here we go, the New Age. Intense desire. Ever hear yoga? That comes next. Intense desire goes along with the royal secret of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. An aspiration, giving permission. Number five is meditation. That's a method of an atmic plane, A-T-M-I-C. Kind of what they call the sphere of spiritual will. We call it yoga. By meditation, breathing. I was in the martial arts for 30 years. You learn how to build your chi and all that through meditation and humming and all this other stuff with your fingers together, all kinds of crazy stuff. How to develop your body so you can kill or disable or disarm or whatever you need to do. By meditation. Bruce Lee, in an interview, confirmed he was possessed that gave him his skill. His words, not mine. Interview. Lee, L-double-E, Bruce Lee, used to be Bruce Lai, L-I. And the Lai family is the Illuminati in the Chinese realm. Yep. He came over as Illuminati. He broke away from them. Now you know the story. Those five methods, incarnation, drugs, words of power, intense desire, meditation, that are methods of application upon the five planes of human evolution, where the psychic powers are developed, or so they want to make you think. But actually, what it does, all five ways, in one way or another, facilitates possession of the demons. That's the bottom line. Now, going back to what Katy Perry, all the singers, and I mean all of them, man, all of them in Hollywood, every single one of them in Hollywood literally signs their name to Satan or they will not have a career. They will lose their career or they'll never get an opportunity. That's why you have one-hit wonders of songs, because they get one hit out and then they get ready to sign the contract and they say, when they tell them, you gotta turn yourself over to Lucifer, you gotta sign this blood oath to Lucifer. Now, I ain't doing that. Well, you're not gonna make it. Buddy Holly and Jimmy Rogers, Honeycomb, Won't You Be My Baby, Honeycomb, you know, that one. And then Buddy Holly, they were Christians, and they were in the same time frame that Elvis Presley was coming around, and they had these wholesome songs about the booty shaking, leg shaking Elvis Presley. Didn't have that. Rock and roll, shock and awe, sex and drugs is what it's designed for. That's the purpose of it. Oh, I hate saying that. Anyway, it does elicit lust, drugs, as it says here in the, they say. Man, I was in that culture. Man, I was still dancing around when I was 45 years old, like a fool. The alcohol helps a lot, especially straight Southern Comfort on the rocks all the time. Helps a lot. I fell away more than once, so I'm not going to tell you I'm some kind of righteous man, because I wasn't at all, even to an older age. But I am going to tell you, and it puts me under conviction, well, so be it. But I have to tell you the truth. That's what it does. Now, music is frequency vibration. We operate as vibration, frequency vibrating. Molecules like ice becomes water, becomes steam by changing vibration of the molecules, energy source. It's physics, biology. So when they use the microchips, EMF transmission of hertz directed to the body, or music, it affects your mentality. It affects your spirit. And they have it quantified right down to a science. They're the ones causing the suicides. 22 Marine veterans per day suicides are caused because of drugs and the vibrational capacity of EMF transmissions. It's being orchestrated. Called targeted individuals, but it's by frequency vibration. Here's where the music comes in. If I have lust in my heart, homosexuality, whatever, there's a vibration of that demon has a vibration equal to that specialty. Light's starting to go on now. I'm heterosexual. I like women. I'm not a homosexual. That doesn't excuse the adultery I committed when I was married twice. So Satan didn't send the perverse spirit of homosexuality. But there was one of lust and lying that were real demons. This is how it works for every human being. That vibration affects your soul. Well, through technology, they can do that through microchips, by the way, to synthesize demonic activity by synthetic means. Now you see the science of good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil. Now I want to talk about later on this week, I can talk about specifically homosexual and the perverse spirit and how this works in more detail. I'll do that Thursday or Friday. Extreme detail. I can talk about it. Excruciating detail. But tonight, I want to tell you about the three methods then of how these songwriters and dancers and so forth get their inspiration. Here's how they do it. And there's three methods. And we're talking not just musicians, family. We're talking Aristotle. Oh, we're talking Plato, Freud, Albert Einstein, Nikola Tesla. Now you see how this works, the application of it in the seven areas I mentioned. They call it karma. It's baloney. You have A threefold overshadowing manifestation. Let me explain in simple terms. There's two different methods of overshadowing and what's called channeling. It's kind of the same thing, actually, when it gets down to it. You have the first method of channeling is equivalent to the first method of overshadowing. So channeling in the first method is called the following, trace channeling. And here, the human enters a trance, kind of like state of some kind, not conscious of the entity coming in, but it's without their knowledge. In the overshadowing, the first method of overshadowing, impression is made of the physical brain of the man and woman. And this is plans for work, their ideas, intentions, and emanates from what they call the avatar. That's the demon. But in the New Age terminology, they call it avatar. And is yet unrecognized by him or her as being other than their own thoughts and feelings. And they'll proceed to put them into action, unconsciously, being helped by the force that flows in. So it's literally kind of a form of higher mental telepathy. It works out on physical levels. Using technology, HARP, and so forth, they've able to synthesize demonic activity by adjusting frequencies technologically, a VLF transmission, electromagnetic waves. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? You know what protects you? The Holy Spirit. That's the only protection you got. Number two, the second level, is called conscious channeling. Now, in the conscious channeling, the unseen entity they refer to as extraterrestrial, which it's not, that joins the body of the human, and the human has conscious awareness of this entity. So the humans provide the physical vehicle for the entity to work through. It's what's referred to as twin souls. Huh? So in the overshadowing section, the equivalent to it, you have a chela. A chela is an infant or a child that's being indwelled by a demon, by a fallen angel if it's high level. The overshadowing is number second one, is the overshadowing of the chela during their work, such as lecturing or writing or teaching or whatever. The illumination for service. So they'll be conscious of this, though unable to explain it, and they'll seek more and more being available for use. It's called addictive. The Ouija board produces this. And rendering themselves up for utter selflessness to the inspiration of their high Lord. It's called a seance. Meditation, yoga practices, mix it with peyote or marijuana like the Indians did. Man, you got your spirit animal there going on. Now you see how it works. And this is indeed affected by the chela's ego, the force flowing into the astral permanent atom, they call it. It's only possible when what they refer to as the fifth petal is unfolded. Another level of Reiki or whatever. Fam, it's all demonic. Every bit of it. And so by me getting this power, hey, look what I can do. I can float around like a steam, like a butterfly, flat like a bee. Look out, baby, because here I come. Yeah, well. It's called being a magician. David Copperfield, some of the others that go through solid objects. A lot of that is because they've made a pact with the devil. The demonic entity inside of them changes their DNA. Changes the DNA, changes the particle vibration of the objects. And that's where they get their power from. Besides illusion, It's also about changing DNA particle vibration, allowing them to go through objects. Now you see. That's why when I see all these, if I watch it on TV or YouTube, these amazing acts, doesn't impress me at all. Because I know it's demonic. I just know that their soul is going to hell if they don't renounce it. That's what I see. Remote viewing, military application, classified projects with individuals that can see across another continent from one other location. It's demonic. A fortune teller that's really, really good. If she becomes a born-again Christian, she loses that ability. It wasn't hers in the first place. That's called conscious channeling, number two. Or overshadowing of the chela, the equivalent to overshadowing. Number three and final method is what's called the conscious cooperation of the chela. In the overshadowing definition, the third method is a conscious cooperation of the chela. But here's the difference. In the third method of overshadowing, he or she will, with full knowledge of the laws of his being and nature, they will surrender themselves, step out of their physical body, handing it over for use of the great Lord, fallen angel or demon, is what it really boils down to, or one of his masters, unquote, Illuminati handbook. Well, I got a hold of a textbook. Now, this is only possible in the case of this chela. We'll have three lower bodies into alignment, a lot of practice, a lot of rehearsal, a lot of meditation. And here they have to unfold what they call the sixth petal of advanced training, if you will. So by the act of conscious will, they then render up their body and stand aside for a specific length of time, but they'll never be the same again. All this is linked up to Elena Blavatsky, Alice Bailey. It's all part of the New Age movement, hidden by the Catholic Church. Later to have, as they described, a re-spiritualization in the New Age movement. That's yet to come. Pray against it. Stay away from it. Now, the third method of channeling, equivalent to the third method of overshadowing, is what they call in channeling a full body channeling. So in this description, you see how closely it matches to overshadowing and channeling. The third level of channeling, as compared to overshadowing, they say it's a soul of the human leaves. The fallen angel takes over the body after the soul of the human departs. Fully incarnated, demonic possession, or star seeds, as they refer to. That's how they do it. Drugs facilitates it. Do an abomination because the Holy Spirit is there. And when they do an abomination, Holy Spirit leaves, allowing possession. That, in fact, then, confirms that duality does not exist. Duality is good and evil and good. I think it's another reason that they come up with marijuana and drugs to smoke and use. Through college, you can only understand the philosophy when you have drugs in you. Philosophy is a worthless course. Philosophy, in fact, is identified as one of the methods of control. There's seven of them. Education, religion, philosophy, science, the arts, politics, and finance. And those seven areas have seven fallen angels that control them. And they have workers underneath them. Other angels, lower rank. Six each. 49 fallen angels specify work on these seven items. With objectives, making, requiring mankind who follow them. Bilderberg, Trilateral Commission, United Nations, work. Now you see how it works. With objectives. Destroy the family, abortion, drugs. It comes down right to your front doorstep. And music. Now I did a study. Now I probably have to cover it again tomorrow because we're coming down the end of the time here. But rock music. Music is covered in the Bible. But it clearly states musical instruments as approved by the Bible in Psalms 150 verses 1 to 6. It tells you. The musical instruments that are approved by the Bible to make a joyful noise to the Lord are clearly stated. Praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness, praise him with the sound of the trumpet, praise him with the psaltery and harp, praise him with the timbrel, T-I-M-B-R-E-L, and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals, that don't mean drums. Praise him with the high-sounding cymbals. Let every thing that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Psalms 150, 1 to 6. It's there. It tells you. It's all about frequency. This is why they have, at these mega churches, rock and roll. As John Todd said, it's the words that convict. The music distracts. It's amazing how, you see, Lucifer was the choir director in heaven, you might say. He would be the first, well, MP3 player. So in other words, he had 9 stones on his body. And Lucifer and the other archangels, the highest level, could go into the throne room of God. But the other angels could not. They were not that level. So the angels outside and their 9 orders of angels, 9 stones on Lucifer. He'd receive the praise from all 9 levels. Then he'd take himself. He would go inside the chambers of God, the throne room of God, open up himself, as like a play it out all the praise of all the 9 angels, order of angels, to God in praise. That's what he is there for. He is powerful. He is beautiful. And it got to him. And there you know the rest of the story. Without me going into it. Now, family, I'm going to have to do this again tomorrow night, but more detail about this, and other ways he controls mankind, or mankind allows him to. So don't forget about, I got my broadcast 4 to 6, Bible study tomorrow 7:30 to 9, and I'll complete this, put it together again, about the feminist movement, how it's controlled America in the broadcast. And then tomorrow night I'll continue on with music, and other methods of control by Satan, and spiritual warfare. You got to know your enemy. Let y'all know that we're played also at highpointradio.net. Highpointradio.net. And John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, up in Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey. His email is highpointradio@yahoo.com. He is expanding his business and his broadcasting. He's putting up more towers. So y'all up north there, give him a little hand. He plays our broadcasts and Bible studies. That's it. And we're appreciative of that. Also, KBLU Radio in Blue Raven Network simulcast us at the same time we're broadcasting. He also has us on. And we appreciate that. Monday nights, 8 to 10, in addition to the broadcast, 4 to 6. Monday nights only, 8 to 10. I have a broadcast on RevelationRadioNetwork.org. You can go to my website, WatchmanForJesus.com, and you have archives there, previous shows. I've got the titles pretty close, and Bible studies, and I'm going to start putting up my newsletters. I've been working on my website trying to figure it out, but it's a long story. But nevertheless, I'm going to come up with newsletters once again about the events that link up to the Humanist Manifesto and how it applies to us while we can. I'll be doing that. Family, I appreciate y'all coming by. We had a very large audience starting off with, and we're international. We got people from other countries. Family, you need to do your own study. If I say something that you say, well, man, that don't sound right, check it out. And if I'm wrong, please tell me, and I'll correct it. I'm not a theologian, but I do an enormous amount of research. But I can make a mistake, and I need someone to tell me if I have. I won't hesitate once to change it. Because we're all here for one purpose, and that's to glorify God. And to spread the gospel. Once we've glorified Him, we've got ourselves born again, and we've got ourselves ready. And then you spread the gospel to others. That's what it's for. That's what we're here for. Right now, it's practice. Because the big game's coming. It's called the tribulations. Hadn't happened yet, but we're close to it. Really close to it. Everybody wants to hurry it up. Some people say we're already in it. Well, that's baloney. That's not even worth touching. I don't care who wrote the book or who tries to or what hour video you watched. There's no way. Impossible. And you notice they never come to a conclusion. And when they do, they always lose. Only God knows. That's not for us to know. Just to be able to recognize it when it happens. But in the meantime, what's our job? Our job is to spread the gospel. To live straight, glorify God in everything we do. That's it. That's it. Yep. That's hard, too, sometimes. Lord, we thank you tonight for the Bible study. Thank you, Lord, for the network. Gosh. Father, we thank you for bringing us together. Father, we thank you for the opportunities you've given us to have our own network that we can worship you. Lord, guide us with your Holy Spirit. Father, cover the blood of Jesus around us that we were protected to give us the words to speak, the courage to speak out, and Lord, direction to follow. Father, we ask you that you give us the divine appointments that we can spread the gospel. Father, we ask you for miracles for our families to be healed that we've prayed for before. And we ask you, Father, to bring us to the next time that we'll be protected in all we do. And give us the strength to stand up to the devil. Resist him to give us the power to resist, Lord, that when we fall short, you convict us of our sins. These things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Family, I appreciate y'all coming by. And you become your own expert. You become your own, on your own study. It's about you and Jesus. Nobody else in between. Just sitting there in a church, don't get it. Just attending a, listen to somebody else preach for you, don't get it. It's about you and your personal relationship with Jesus. You don't need another human being because they're going to be judged too. We all are. Just make sure you're right one, judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne. Well, judgment seat of Christ is where you want to be. That's the wheat and the tares. It's that simple. To explain, sometimes not that easy to do. So y'all have a good night, And tomorrow, 4 o'clock, we'll be, I'll hit some of the news and we'll move right along. So you'll have a great night and family. This is the Watchman for Jesus signing off. Because he's alive. Ooh, that's good. Yeah. Ooh. Love you, Lord.
The love was shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
God bless. Good night. Watchman for Jesus signing off again.